I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Wake up and get outside. It's snowing, right? Yeah, that's... I don't know. I think we've got you. We'll get you connected there. I'm not sure. There we go. Is that you? No, that's not you. That's not me pressing that either. We'll figure it out here. You got it?
Yeah, I've got that one.
I think I can hear you okay.
Is that okay?
No, Matt doesn't have you. Well, we'll try to figure it out here. Good morning and welcome to KSL Outdoors. Well, we figure out how we get Russ involved. I'm Joe Davis. I'm filling in for Tim Hughes. Good grief. Hey, maybe that's a bad, I hope it's not a bad omen.
No, it's not.
Things will get cleared up here in a minute or two. I can hear you, but I guess.
Well, I have to learn this every week.
Make sure that everybody else can.
Yeah,
there's a lot of buttons in these radio stations nowadays.
Well, I was way Joe, can you, oh.
Now I can hear you. Wow, that is so much better.
I had to turn it all the way up.
Yeah, you can't just count on that gruff voice.
Okay.
It's not enough.
All right. I could yell and it'd go through your mic. But good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you, Joe.
It's good to see you.
Been about a month or so?
Too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm filling in for Tim because he's out and about as usual.
Out gallivanting around.
Yeah. He's somewhere awesome in the world.
Nobody says
I think it's Amsterdam again or something, yeah. Or Helsinki, yeah. Or I don't know. But it's better than the peck on the head with a sharp rock, as my grandma said.
Peck on the head with a sharp rock. Yeah. I believe that. My version of that is it's better than getting poked with a sharp stick. So mine's kind of dumbed down a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So anyway, Russ is here. Matt's here. And Cordell Anderson is here. Which means that none of us really matter because, honestly,
true.
You got more packed into that one dude
than
the three of us can bring to the table.
Cordell, how long has it been? Since number one, how long has it been since you've been in studio? 5 years?
Oh, I'm not sure. It has been years.
Long time.
Now I've phoned in and
right.
That's right.
Probably not last year, but the year before, probably. But in studio, it's been quite a while.
Wow.
How long do you think it's been since you picked up your first phone from SkyCall?
Well, you know, my first year, I didn't know about Sky, which was 2003 on my High Winter Wilderness
that's
project.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And I can't remember where I got my satellite phone, but I had one. Mm-hmm. And then sometime, maybe by the next year or the year after, probably the next year, I'd heard about you guys. And so I started getting one from you, and I've been with you ever since.
That's what I was thinking, 2004.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a wow.
Pretty much my oldest living customer in so many ways.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to have Cordell here because, okay, I think that maybe this last weekend, one of the most historic celebrations in Utah.
Right.
Arguably almost ever. You know, the Olympics
the last 150
rises
years
to that level to a certain degree.
Yeah, it does.
But when you talk about Utah history, I don't know that it gets more important than the joining of East and West with, mm-hmm. via the Transcontinental Railroad at Promontory Point. And we celebrated the 150th anniversary this last week. Wow. It's amazing. That's right. So we're going to talk about that for sure today for a couple of reasons. Because one, I want to talk about, but two, because we've got Cordell Anderson here to talk about it, which is awesome.
Cordell, I won't spill the beans yet.
Yeah.
But okay. Cordell has a very unique view, a perspective on the railroad as it came through area. And he's done a lot of research, and that's what we're going to hear today. And that's what we're looking forward to hearing from you.
I'm excited to talk about that because, you know, in Park City, we're very much about history in Utah. I'd arguably say that, you know, maybe some of the smaller towns celebrate their history on a pretty day-to-day basis because it's part of their tourism.
They do.
A few of the smaller cities, but not many more than Park City. So, you know, the mining town and all that, which much of that came from the railroad. So there's this huge tie to it. And so I'm really excited about this discussion. So that's coming up. We're also, we kind of got a pretty loaded show here. Of course, we're going to be talking fish, right? That's certain, with, Navi, 650. But Scott Dalebout will be here or will be, we'll get an interview with him as well, that, he did previously. And then, we're talking with Roger Eggett. We've got, a whole bunch of stuff coming up. So you'll want to stay tuned for sure to KSL Doors today because this is going to be a good show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Got to go over.
Are you pretty excited? Did you go? Before we get to this, can we just kind of precursor this?
Yeah.
Did you go to any of the celebrations?
No. Did you listen to the show last week? No. I might as well have been at one because we covered it a couple of big segments on what Tim and Bill Rogers was here.
Yeah.
What they did and the recordings of the trains and all that stuff.
Oh,
pretty exciting stuff.
You know, train buffs are a different breed. I mean, I love them. I've kind of been one when I was a kid. My grandfather was definitely one. So I did get to see a lot of trains, and I love the 844, the 3695, I think it was. I can't remember that one. I've seen a few.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
They're right up there with the guys that are the tail number buffs. That sit at the airport and record tail numbers.
Right.
And there's quite a few others like that. That I ran with a bunch that took, I can't think of it. Today would be just a picture of benchmarks, survey corners, all that stuff you find in the middle of nowhere. And they would trade those,
Really?
And they were mainly survey guys.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like geocaching. It's kind of the same idea. You go out searching for this thing, you find it, take a picture of it. We would take an etching where you put the paper over and with a pencil over the top. Have you heard of this, Cordell?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
See,
but
so
different things for different folks.
But the thing I notice about train guys, they'll spend an enormous amount of money to ride one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those tickets to ride on that. $5,000. included like $200, and like included a lunch like at the station, not even on the train. I was like, good grief. Right? The Heber Creeper is a lot less.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I get it. I wanted to buy one, and then I looked at this. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. I don't have that. But man, that's cool.
You can still buy an Amtrak ticket that you can ride for a month on.
Yeah.
They're fairly, I think, relatively inexpensive. We get guests at our B&B that
ride the train
and come and stay the night. Had to get back on the train sometime the next day. I brought one. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I had one that needed to come downtown at 3 a.m. to catch the train.
Good grief!
Fortunately, it was a Saturday morning. I said, "Well, what the heck? I'll get up a little, or I just won't go to bed. One or the other."
You were nice.
And brought, well, if
you're like been, Airbnb you been, is like 5 stars.
Have you ever been awesome. At the train depot at 3 a.m?
It's kind of sketch.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I know about it at 5 a.m. Yeah.
We've got a lot ahead of us today.
Yeah, we do. I guess we should take a break, come back with it all here on KSL. You're listening to KSL Outdoors. We'll be right back. You're back with us on KSL Outdoors, and Russ.
I was having my own show over here.
I know. Well, you've got Cordell Anderson here. You can have your own show. Yeah. That's a show in a show, which, of course, we're going to spend some time with Cordell here in a couple minutes. Right. But news of the week, I want to start by talking about the snow. It's kind of an obvious thing. Okay. So just to be clear, today is May 18th of 2019. Yeah. It is almost always this particular weekend in May almost always has always rain wet. Associated with yep. it. Yeah, every time. I mean, we have a thing up in Park City called Running with Ed, which is a fundraising for all the schools. Mm. Like they need more. Yeah. I'm teasing. I'm totally kidding. No, there's always a need for more money for education, and they do a bang up job bringing in more money to make sure that all the kids get a level playing field with the equipment they need mm-hmm. to do well right. in school. But it rains on it every single year. It's a running event where you basically pass a baton at different checkpoints, are different schools. So you hit all the schools in Park City, and a whole lot of people come up from Salt Lake to be in this, which is kind of fun too. Yeah. We're attracting people from outside of Park City, but it rains every year. This year it's snowing, and I mean significantly. So word of the wise, I don't know. I didn't listen to our traffic report, but I'm sure he mentioned it. I-80 snow packed starting at about East Canyon and all the way up over the top and on to Wyoming. Yeah, it's there's like a good solid three, like anywhere where the plows haven't hit. And I will say this, the plows are out this morning. They're doing a bang up job. They were out real early. But even with that, there's like seriously a couple inches of snow on the road surface itself. And I don't know how much there is in the trees because it's hard to tell right now. It's kind of dark, but I'd say probably 4 inches.
Yeah, this
ridiculous.
Is for I don't know for you guys up there how critical this is as far as branches breaking and taking power lines out and that kind of
it's
thing.
A problem.
Is it a problem?
Now that we finally have, we have leaves on the trees,
you
some
guys
of
just
them.
Barely got electricity just a couple years ago.
Park City, it's a mining town. Yeah. We're a little behind the times. But, yeah, anyway, so just saying there's a lot of snow. It's unseasonable, which is the whole point of this part of the news I wanted to share, which is that wet conditions are going to limit some forest activities right. this Memorial Day right. to include the Manti-LaSalle National Forest, which will not have accessible campgrounds and some trails.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, I think that's true. Cordell, do you know if Mirror Lake Highway will be open before Memorial Day? I don't think it will.
No, I for May 1st, I on my website, I've traditionally done. I have a report every day on the snow depth on Bald Mountain Pass and on Wolf go. Creek Pass. Mm-hmm. On Bald Mountain Pass, we started on May 1 with 84 inches. And we dropped down at least 12 inches until like day before yesterday, and now it's going back up. We'll see what it ends up at today. And the same for Wolf Creek, not near as much. Yeah. It's about half that much snow. But, yeah, there's this is like 2011.
Right.
Isn't
when,
it?
When
right. Or 2003.
Bald Mountain Pass didn't open or the Mirror Lake Highway didn't open until the 28th of June.
It reminds me also of 1993, year that we were pushing snow off the roofs.
Right.
So it's going to be a while before we can go hiking.
We took a ride up Wolf Creek on Sunday afternoon and wanted to go up to I have forgotten the name of the lake, but the right turn. What's the lake where the YMCA camp is and all that stuff?
Oh my gosh. Where Camp Roger is?
Yeah. No, not Rogers.
Which one?
But, okay.
Well
let's
anyway.
Just gloss over that. But the barricades are up. The gates aren't closed, but the barricades are up. And you can dry. It was dry all the way up to where I turned off, but that's not nearly as high as Wolf Creek. So that's not open, not officially open yet.
That's crazy.
The other problems that we're having is, you wonder if going to the Sun Road in Montana will be open at all this year. So if you have plans for Glacier, just get on the Montana DOT site and keep watching what they predict it'll be open. There's a couple of high passes in Montana that will be closed for most of the year.
Well, the big thing to note today is be safe.
Yeah.
Slow down. Don't forget what snow and ice are like. There is ice on the road up there. Yeah. It's slippery. There's people driving through it like there's nothing going on, which is a mistake. It seems fine until you hit an overpass and then, yeah, you know, and then bedlam.
Right.
So just that thought, of course. But also, yeah, check the places you're thinking about going camping and doing things this year, because it may be very different. There is a lot of snow, so there you go. But that also has been what I found interesting, too, is it also has a lot to do with kind of the creatures that are around and when they come down or go up, rather, in this case. We're going uphill in the summer. So I haven't seen quite the wildlife that I'm used to yet. It's
a little quiet. Way up yet.
Yeah. So we've seen a few. We saw a little bit of the elk herd up in Promontory in Park City, but not the typical that we normally see. But do you see raccoons? I only see them.
I don't see them.
I only see them on the side of the road when somebody hit one.
Yeah, we don't have any in our neighborhood that we used to. My neighbor used to feed them, which is a problem. But
all right. Well, on that note, we have our first caller of the day, which, of course, is James.
Well, very good, guys. Thanks for the greeting. Anyhow, basically, we're bracing for yet another round of rain in Texas. And one thing that newscasters were bringing up around pertaining to wildlife around here, so many people are getting mushy about taking in orphaned wildlife, and I'm the sentimentalist next person, but I am wise enough not to do that. They're advising to let baby wildlife be, not touch them. But what was interesting to me, they said, especially raccoons, to where they look nice and cuddly and all that.
Yeah, they do.
But they're carrying distemper heavily, and I didn't know if that was a problem out in your area.
You know, I bet it is.
Probably is, yeah.
I will tell you. Can I tell a quick story? You go up in Cottonwood Canyon to Storm Mountain Park. Years ago, it was a lot different. There were lots of little campgrounds in there, the place you could put a fire together. And we were having a lot of fun as teenagers in high school. And we had a big, you know, like group date. And got around the fire and we're having these tinfoil dinners. And all of a sudden, the raccoons came. And we're feeding them out of our hands. It's super fun and everything. And find out that, there's a big warning for the fact that there were several of them that were carrying disease. Not sure it was distemper, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's certainly, they're cute. They are cute. If you go to San Francisco, they're a big deal at the bridge.
Oh, are they there?
Oh, yeah. There's an area where
California
people feed them at the bridge.
Raccoons all over the place. Yosemite. Yeah. It's annoying.
James, you guys have a lot of them, huh?
Yeah, they're very prevalent around here. And anyhow, it made the news and just thought I'd chime in about just wildlife in general, to where we feel sorry for them, but there is limits. We can just do what we can do, but we got to stay safe ourselves.
Secretly, James has got, like, you know, a whole army of raccoons he's building up.
Right.
Right?
Hey, James. How are you doing there? Are you staying dry?
We're dry right now, but as I might have mentioned to you last week, we had 3 days of power outage, heavy rain, and we're due for heavy rain in about 3 to 4 hours from now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Looking forward to it. Are you tarped over the roof, or what did you end up doing?
Yeah, we had damage, and anyhow, we had to have a church group put a tarp on the roof and all that. So
man.
It was 90-mile-an-hour winds last week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fairly bizarre, unless you've got a tornado overhead, I would
imagine. That's bizarre. It's the equivalent of an inland hurricane and all that. So it was no fun, and still no fun. So anyhow, I do thank you.
All right. We look forward to your report next week, James.
Okay. Hang in there, buddy. All right.
Hang in there.
Yeah, it's good to talk to James. We appreciate him, and I'll wish him the best on that. That's
back,
scary.
Back to the late snow. This affects, you got people who are starting at the border right now on the Pacific Crest Trail, and they don't know if they can make it into the Sierras because of the snow.
Wow.
I mean, that just might be totally locked up this year because of the late snow. I mean, Donner Pass is still getting snow.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's why you don't want to be
a lot of things. That's stay in touch with what's going on.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to be a pioneer going over darn fast. That's right. More to come here at KSL Outdoors after these messages, and of course, news, traffic, and weather.